Hi, I'm Kim Cotola. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Cradle My Heart Radio. There are many more podcasts available online at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us for Cradle My Heart Radio. We are excited to bring you a conversation about a brand new idea and one that I think should energize everybody who is invested in the cause for life. And I hope that's why you're listening to this program. And if you're listening because you disagree, I think it's going to be really hard for you to resist this idea. This is a fabulous idea we're about to bring forward. And the author of it is Ben Domenech, who is the publisher of The Federalist, Federalist Media. His work's been featured on The Daily Beast, Politico, Commentary, Reason. You've read him in GQ. You've maybe seen him on Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, CBS's Face the Nation. Ben, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Ben, I want to start by bringing to mind the Federalist motto on your website. It says, be lovers of freedom and anxious for the fray. And as someone personally impacted by abortion, I spent a lot of years on the sidelines of the cause for life, trying to be above the fray. You know, I mean, after abortion, people need healing, and politics never healed a broken heart. But I've really come to see that our hearts are healed as we take up our position to defend and fight for the rights of children yet to be born. So let's start by giving you a chance to encourage others to be anxious for the fray. It's a really different thing than trying to be above the fray.
You know, it is a different thing. You know, that line actually comes from a speech that Calvin Coolidge gave about the Battle of Bunker Hill. And it's a line that he has about the people who were contending on that field, who would ultimately determine whether the American experiment in self-government would exist or not. And he makes the point that one of the things that we forget is that the people who were fighting on that day, you know, had no knowledge of what was going to come. They were fighting for a country that didn't exist yet. And he says that he describes them as lovers of freedom, anxious for the fray, the sons of Puritans, who, as he cites Macaulay, would bow in the dust before their lord, but hesitated not to put their foot on the neck of their king. It's an incredible revolutionary statement, and it's something that, to me, is at the heart of the American experience and needs to be at the heart of people who engage in our political and cultural fray over these issues. It's very easy to take a position, to have an opinion, but to keep that to yourself and to never really engage on the subject, to stand back and let others do it, to remain, as you say, above the fray. What I feel like we try to do at The Federalist and featuring the different writers that we do is try to promote ideas that really do engage in the kind of cultural contention, the political contention of issues that are too important to be left to everyone but those who have values that need to be expressed and need to be expressed more often within our culture.
And I just, as you're speaking, I envision the army of individuals who have been traumatized by abortion, who are still in grief after abortion, people who are hurting after abortion, being stirred to action, having brave hearts again for the children yet to be born. And if that could happen, wow. And I think you might have just come up with a way for it to become reality. Ben, in June of 2016, you wrote at The Federalist making a case for a third political party, the Party of Life. What would the agenda for that party be?
So the idea I basically had was this. There, you know, you have, I think, right now in the American political scene, situation where the issue of abortion has become a monopartisan issue. In the past, there were people in both major parties who were truly pro-life, and who believed in the need to protect unborn life, who understood that lives of children not yet born needed to be protected in law and welcomed by our culture. But I think that because of a lot of the different things that have happened in the culture war over the course of the past several years, you've had a great sort where very few people now in the Democratic Party are pro-life, and very there are a lot of people in the Republican Party who are allowed by that mechanism to say things that are pro-life during the course of an election. But once they get into office, it's less of a priority because they know that people who care about those issues wouldn't have another place to go. I think that in this context, there's a need for a single-issue party, a party of life, that would be focused on the abortion issue, not just from the sense of, you know, fighting for a constitutional amendment to protect human life, but in taking a number of other partial steps that go in that direction. And the unique nature of this, from my perspective, is if this party functioned not like one of the major two parties, but in a way that hasn't we haven't really seen in American politics in recent years. In American history, third parties essentially have one of three possible forms. They're either very temporary parties, parties like the Bull Moose Party, or others that are, you know, functionally just there for a very short time around one candidate and then quickly disappear. They are parties that are semi-permanent that offer an ideological argument that's more coherent and broad, such as the Green Party or the Libertarian Party today. Or, and this is the third kind, they are parties that have one primary issue that they care more about than anything else and are willing to include people who have a wide variety of beliefs on a number of other subjects that they care less about. These are actually the parties that have the biggest impact in American history. Those, you know, it's an, the Republican Party exists as an outgrowth of the abolition movement that formed the party at the time. You know, you see the parties that were formed in the past in favor of prohibition, in favor of women getting the vote, in favor of various single issues that actually elected multiple people and saw their impact in politics grow to a point where other major parties had to contend with their issue. This is the function that I think a party of life ought to adopt, because that would allow it to be able to endorse in states and in congressional districts and in other elections where there was a strong pro-life candidate or someone committed to that view. And in other cases where there was no candidate committed to that view, you could offer a third-party choice of someone who had a belief that this issue needed to be at the center of our political discussion and not one that is just pushed to the side because our political and media elites don't want to typically talk about.
It is a really big vision, and if you are just taking it in, you can. We've got a link to the entire article at cradlemyheart.org, written by the author we're speaking with today, Ben Domenech, publisher of The Federalist, and he's calling for the Party of Life, a case for a pro-life third party, with the agenda of being that the party would be opposed to the destruction of innocent life and seeking to make the practice illegal. The party would exist for that reason. Now, you've mentioned that there could be some other agenda items. What sorts of other things might the party be concerned with?
Well, I think that there are other transitional steps that could certainly be part of a party's agenda. Certainly, the defunding of Planned Parenthood and the insistence that no taxpayer dollars go toward abortion. You know, as you probably know, in many states across the country, while the Hyde Amendment applies to federal funding for abortion, in many states, their own Medicaid programs take tax dollars and apply them to abortion, many of which are done for reasons of rape or incest, but for all sorts of other health-based reasonings. Major states like New York and California, their programs currently fund abortions through their taxpayer funding. That's the sort of thing that this party could be opposed to. I think it could also be opposed to any kind of funding that goes towards those types of entities in terms of overseas abortions. And I think that it should also be in support of additional looks at the abortion clinics across the country, where we've seen really devastating and disturbing instances of medical malpractice, really, on their part. And I think, in addition, there could be partial steps that could be taken if you were talking about state-level officials. to pass bans on abortion that kick in at certain weeks or after certain trimesters. You know, one of the most interesting poll statistics that came out over the course of the past month was a poll that found that even a majority of Americans who describe themselves as pro-choice are in favor of banning abortion after the first trimester. That's the kind of argument that I think it would be good for a party of life to put forward, primarily not just because of the lives that could be saved, but also because of the discussion it starts. The discussion it starts where we start saying, why is this life protected by law one day in this direction, but not protected by law one day in the other direction, which is a conversation that, believe me, you know, people who are in favor of abortion on demand at all times do not want to have. They do not want to allow for the very idea that life is something that deserves to be protected because it is human, because it is alive, and not because of some arbitrary statistic, some arbitrary day when we decide as a society that it becomes worthy of protection.
Ben Domenech of The Federalist. So as we're thinking about the simplicity of this, that the party of life would be opposed to the destruction of innocent life, we're really at that place, aren't we, that the discussion is no longer where it was in 1976 when the Supreme Court justices ruled in Roe v. Wade that this was a potential life. I mean, whether it's DNA innovations or whether it's ultrasound technology or whether it's just the science of embryology, there's no question that life begins at conception, right? So the party of life would not even really be trying to establish that. It would simply be saying this is a given. We just need to act upon the facts as we know them.
And I think that it really would be making an argument that this is something that no civilized society ought to have as its policy. You know, we have a very extreme abortion policy in comparison to the rest of the world, and we certainly have a policy that is no longer supported by the kind of viewpoints that you could possibly have in the 1970s. You know, I think one other thing that is, you know, a factor here is simply the success of medical science in being able to help very early births, births that come much earlier in the process than you ever might have thought, survive and actually have thriving and beautiful lives and turn into beautiful children over time. And this is the sort of thing that I think as it builds up, as more and more people become aware of somebody in their life who had a child, you know, weeks before they were ever expecting to have it, and incredibly these tiny little human lives are able to survive, the lesson that teaches is one that is impossible to avoid, I think, unless you are in the harshest position of being in favor of abortion on demand, which is that these are humans, they are alive, they are unique, and they deserve protection under our laws. And I think that that's the kind of case that a party of life could make, and that case could come from people who have a wide difference in a belief when it comes to almost any other political issue. You know, I am someone who, you know, is personally, I'm very libertarian. I have a strong, you know, sort of support for capitalism and for free trade. But that doesn't mean that someone who has the views of someone like Pope Francis, who, you know, is obviously, you know, a more skeptical about some aspects of capitalism, is more, you know, someone who would probably disagree with me about economic policy. He and I would both find the same agreement in when it comes to the need to protect human life, and particularly in its most innocent and vulnerable form.
And I think the reason the church has lost its power is because it had failed to be proactive. The Catholic Church, not so much, but definitely in evangelical circles, failed mm-hmm. to be proactively proclaiming the truth that all life mm-hmm. is valuable equally from conception forward. But, and so now, you know, being on defense and trying to answer charges of being, you know, against women's rights, it's doomed to fail. How do you anticipate the political debate unfolding from the party of life for the pushback that says you're going to war on women, you know, because mm-hmm. we haven't talked about the needs of pregnant women as we've been discussing this?
What I want to see, and I believe that this would happen, is I want to see the kind of candidates that a party of life would attract. You know, in the experience in Texas, just over the course of the past couple of years, you saw what happened when Wendy Davis stood up against, push to have a number of steps that would have been positive pro-life steps, steps that polling showed us that more women supported than men. We saw this national sort of support for her, and then ultimately her defeat and when it came to the election, in large part because she was not supported by other Texas women. Texas Hispanic women turned very much against her. I would love to see some of those Hispanic women come forward and run on the ticket of a party of life. I would love to hear them tell their stories, their personal stories about abortion in their lives and in their families' lives, how it's something that is no longer acceptable for a civilized society to tolerate. And I think that that's something that is a very pro-woman message, one that can offer to those who have had the terrible tragedy of abortion affect their lives to come forward and to receive the forgiveness that you and I know that the pro-life community offers to them time and time again. It's one of these scenarios where I'd like to see more people who are willing to do that. And I think that in the current political situation, we talked about being above the fray before. The simple fact is that Republican politicians don't have to talk about abortion anymore because they know that this is an issue that is monopartisan and that the pro-lifers will typically be on their side. Very few politicians are willing to stand up and take a bold stand on this issue. They would rather keep their heads down. They would rather talk about things that are of importance to their local small businesses or to local employers. They would rather talk about things that, you know, are in the priority list of a Chamber of Commerce kind of approach to politics. And they don't want to talk about this issue because they view it as divisive or they view it as hard. They view it as a tough thing to talk about. I hold the reverse opinion. I think that we need more people talking about abortion. We need more people talking about it in our culture, in our politics, in our communities. Because I think that what we allow by not having that happen is we allow for the issue to fade into the background. We become used to it. We become tolerant of it as an issue. And it's only voices like yours that stand out from the crowd that put it in front of people as a priority that say, you have to pay attention to this. You can't pretend it doesn't exist. You can't pretend that just because you don't see it on the street or on the TV or in our political discussion every day that it's not happening, because it is.
Ben Novodich is our guest. He is the publisher at The Federalist and has proposed a third party, the Party of Life. And we're discussing his article, which we've got linked at cradlemyheart.org. You know, Ben, as you're speaking about this, I'm thinking a lot of the reason why a lot of people are silent is because of female bullying. When I stepped forward with my story about 15 years ago now, I was told, first of all, I was told women who have emotional problems after abortion had those problems before, which is a fine way of victimizing victims, which was the first sin of feminism is to, you know, tell somebody who's been hurt that it's her fault. And yet that's what they do when people step forward with their stories. And so I think that you're right. Engaging the bystanders and empowering those who know the truth would be one of the great advantages in having, you know, people organized around this idea. What's the advantage of creating a new party just versus just having an agenda for an existing party? I mean, you've addressed some of this, but clarify that for us. Why a party rather than just trying to work within the existing two-party structure? Because I know a lot of people listening are like, third party, it's going to go to the powerful. It's going to not go our way.
I completely understand the skepticism about that. My argument would be that you shouldn't be in favor of this unless you believe, as I do, that the existing approach, the approach of having an agenda and advocating for it within one party, in this case the Republicans, has been a failure. And the reason I think it's been a failure is because, as I said, the fact that this has become a monopartisan affair means that Republican politicians really can afford to give lip service to this idea without actually standing up and taking principled stands for this agenda. I think that we saw that most visibly in this past year, when even at a moment at which the evidence was clear that Planned Parenthood had engaged in violations of the law, that they had done things that were shameful and illegal and morally reprehensible, that the Republican Party was unwilling to stand up and defund them. They were unwilling to do that. They were unwilling to have that fight. They gave it lip service. They had some hearings about it, but they weren't really willing to go to the mattresses for it. Trust me when I say, if this had been a priority of the lobbyists on K Street or of major employers or of corporate groups in America, they would have moved earth and heaven to make that happen. But because it was the priority of the people who still come and still march and still believe that this is a reprehensible practice that needs to be eliminated in America, because it was the priority of them, it was something that they could give lip service to and then move off. From my perspective, that was something that was a very depressing moment, because it showed and reflected how much this had become an issue that was just a talking point. not something that was actually going to ever change under the administration of this party or any other. That was something that concerned me. I also, frankly, was disappointed in the decisions during the Bush years when the Republicans had total control. That they didn't put as many of the policies as they could have put into practice. For instance, there is something called the Reagan Rule that Ronald Reagan won in his final year was adjudicated that would have allowed for the complete elimination of any funding to any entity that promotes abortion from any of its avenues. So that would obviously include Planned Parenthood in the sense that Planned Parenthood gets tax dollars already. Any presidential administration could have enforced that rule. The George W. Bush administration didn't. There's a host of other examples. Obviously, the failure to nominate judges that are as good as they promised to be, that sort of thing. But what your real aim would be with a third party party of life would be to get the major parties to move on this issue. And frankly, from my perspective, it would also be a reassertion of the idea that pro-lifers aren't just a single category that can be counted on by one of the major parties to come out automatically. Instead, it would offer them a real choice. I think I look to states like Illinois, frankly, where the Republican candidate for the Senate and the Democratic candidate for the Senate have essentially the same views on abortion. I would really like to see what would happen in a situation where a party of life candidate was put forward in a situation like that and could appeal not just to the normal pro-life community who you think of as being part of the Republican coalition, but also to voters who might never consider voting for a Republican, to Black and Hispanic voters, church attendees, people who care very deeply about this issue and may have other differences with the Republican Party on economics or on other factors. Frankly, if you believe, as I do, that the most important moral issue of our time is abortion, then I think that we have to really take a hard look at whether the approach that has been used over the past several years, putting forward an agenda, advocating for it internally within a major party, has really been the right way to do things. It could be that we are at a more extreme pivotal point on this issue where we have the opportunity to make a case and to make it forcefully and with eloquence of purpose when it comes to the American people and to their views on this subject. I think the best way to do that is to actually get into the fray with a candidate who can make that argument across multiple states and across multiple districts, and to do so over the course of the coming years in a way that elevates this issue and makes it more important, forces the other candidates to respond to it. I'll give you one more example of how this has happened just in terms of recent years. I don't think there's any question that the Libertarian Party made a big deal about the fact that they were pushing so hard for marijuana legalization. It's something where they pushed very hard in multiple states for this. And even though the Libertarian candidate in many instances was never somebody who was going to have any shot at winning any race or taking over a state or something like that, they forced the issue into the public sphere in a way that made other major party candidates have to respond to it. I think that that's obviously an issue that doesn't compare at all in any of its tendencies to the abortion issue. But it is interesting to me that one party was able to elevate that as an issue in a way that other major parties started to pay attention to it, started to have changes of opinion and changes of the way that they talked about it. I think the abortion issue could be like that, but by a factor of 10 times or more of a bigger deal if it forces it into the public sphere.
Ben Domenech of The Federalist. His articles are linked at cradlemyheart.org. We've got about 3 minutes left and a couple of big questions, so I apologize for the short time. But what do we know about abolition parties of the past that could lead to, the likelihood of success for the Party of Life? And also, what sort of response have you gotten since you wrote on this back in June?
So what we know from the past is really that, we've seen kind of the factor of abolition focused parties or parties that had these types of single issues. What they typically do is once they start to have success, other parties, the major parties, start paying attention to them. And they start reaching out to their people or talking about the issue or, putting forward some examples of policies where they can make a difference. I think that that's a positive sign and something that would be positive to see develop if this was to occur. In terms of the response that I've gotten, I have to say it's been pretty incredible. There's not a day that goes by without me getting emails about this from multiple people. And what's perhaps most interesting to me is that a lot of people who I might describe as more economically liberal Catholics or people who have strong faith but are perhaps more economically progressive, they seem to be very excited about this idea. Because I think from their perspective, they've always had to swallow hard and pretend like when they were voting for a progressive politician, that their policy toward abortion was something that they didn't care about. But I think what this has actually revealed to me is that a lot of them have been feeling conflicted about that over the years. And the possibility of a party of life that could represent their views more accurately in the sense of combining a concern about the moral ethic of our time and the disastrous ramifications of abortion, you know, combined with other views on other topics where they might have differences of opinion with the Republican Party, that's something that seems to inspire a lot of interest from them.
And if people want to know more, what's the best way for them to take action or to get on board or to join in?
Well, I can just say for now, you can email me at ben@thefederalist.com. I'm starting to put together the initial conversations. I think we may have an organizational meeting here in the coming months and talk more about this, what would be entailed, what would need to happen. But for the time being, who are interested should just feel free to email me, and I'll certainly add them to the list of folks who are interested.
Thank you, Ben, for being our guest today on Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you. A pleasure to join you.
Now, stay with us. Coming up on Faith Radio, we'll take your phone calls. I'd love to hear your reaction to what you've just heard. 1-800-811-3003. Call us here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for making Cradle My Heart Radio part of your Sunday evening. We are glad that you are with us tonight and would love to, if you were able to hear our featured interview with Ben Domenech, which was just completed, would love to hear your thoughts. Our phones are open at 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003. We boosted the post giving notice of what the interview was going to be about and who our featured guest was going to be on Facebook this week, and it drew some fire. There were some people who were extremely upset about the idea of a third party over the pro-life issue as a losing strategy, period. They didn't even want to entertain the idea. And, of course, Cradle My Heart Radio is a 501c3, which means we don't endorse candidates, we don't lobby, we don't endorse parties. This was simply a discussion of an idea, and yet, wow, there was backlash. So if you feel the same way, if you feel like this is a terrible idea, I can't even believe you covered it. we'll give you the chance to say that. 1-800-811-3003. Or if you think, well, this makes a little bit of sense here, maybe it is time for a single issue. Instead of being a single issue voter, we actually have a group of people that would come together and put together a single issue slate. Again, it's not happened, so I'm not endorsing it. Just a point of discussion, 1-800-811-3003. Tonight's pro-life resource is a beautiful, beautiful thing from Lauren Roman, who's been a guest on the program before. She's an actress. She's appeared on Nashville on that series, but she really made her mark on All My Children when she was just 19 years old. And she shared with us the story of how she had had an abortion at 18. And it really set the tone for her career until she was able to find forgiveness and healing through a post-abortion Bible study at a pregnancy center in Los Angeles. And one of the things that Lauren has done is to produce a CD, Songs of Hope and Healing, and we have copies of that for our callers tonight at 1-800-811-3003. Here's a little bit from Lauren Roman's CD, Songs of Hope and Healing.
This world was not for you to see. My arms were not to hold you close to me. But still, I know
That's Lauren Roman from Songs of Hope and Healing. Beautiful song, Child of My Heart. And we have copies for our callers tonight at 1-800-811-3003. Want to share your thoughts about this trial balloon floating the idea of a party of life, making abolition of abortion the single issue, the priority. What do you think? It would not affect the current election cycle, so we're not lobbying for that. We're not promoting that. Just want to know what your thoughts are, if it's time. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. 1-800-811-3003. I love the theme of this pro-life resource tonight, Lauren's CD, because the people who were reacting so strongly on Facebook are, I believe, very, very sincerely pro-life, and they don't want to take on any sort of a losing strategy. They don't want anyone thinking about a third-party candidate which would play into a victory for a politician that they oppose. And I understand that. I understand that thinking. But there's a tenor to the conversation that is really troubling, particularly when you stop to think about the millions and millions and millions of women who are grieving the child of their heart lost in abortion. I'm not saying we shouldn't have a righteous indignation. I'm not saying we shouldn't have a righteous anger. But, boy, attacking one another when we're on the same side. Maybe you'd want to comment on that. 1-800-811-3003. A copy for our callers of Lauren Roman's CD, Songs of Hope and Healing, tonight on Cradle My Heart Radio. I'm Kim Cotola. If you're brand new to the program, my story is that I was drawn into the pro-life cause through having been healed of an abortion in my past, and one that I also had built a career upon. My story models the reality that abortion is not primarily a teen phenomenon. It's a phenomenon for women in their 20s, in the launch phase. College students and women just starting out in those first jobs as they're trying to establish a career. And 2/3 of women are in established relationships. 2/3 of women who abort are using birth control, which is to say, I know that can be controversial as well, but which is to say that they were doing what the world said was the responsible thing to do in the way that they were conducting a relationship. And for me to be able to experience the healing so that I could come and tell my story and reach out and help others understand the truth of God's love and mercy that is available to us, God had to do a great work in my heart. And I want to encourage you, if you've not ever shared your story, if you don't think it's possible to share your story, maybe because of some of the tone of people who are pro-life. I'm not here to criticize anyone, but I'm saying that I know that those who have had abortions are often extremely pro-life because we've learned the hard way, the reality that abortion takes a life of an innocent human being. We're pro-life. But wow, we are the low ones on the totem pole. We are the last to be considered on any agenda. Now, that's not true in the pregnancy help movement. Almost all of the pregnancy help centers now are offering an after-abortion care because we've reached a critical mass of people who are needing it. And if you can reach someone who's had an abortion with healing, they likely won't commit it because, make that choice again. Half of all abortions are repeat procedures, and there are many reasons for that as well. But the message of healing, of forgiveness, of mercy, of redemption, of life after abortion is one that we will continue to proclaim here, even as we are dedicated to rescuing the unborn. Women and children are the targets of our message. And I heard a beautiful teaching that I want to share with you tonight. And if you're wanting to call and join the program, leave a comment or make a comment with us. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. 800-811-3003, a toll-free call. And we have for our listeners who call in tonight, Lauren Roman's CD, Songs of Hope and Healing. I heard a great teaching today on Psalm 143, a Psalm of David, and it's one of the penitential psalms. And he cries out to God and says in the beginning of the psalm, Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy, and in your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. And I just was so struck as we were studying it. It wasn't a post-abortion study. It wasn't anything having to do with the life issue per se. But, wow, what an application this has for those who are broken by abortion. For David to say to the Lord that it's God's faithfulness and God's mercy and God's righteousness that we call upon when we need relief from a guilty heart. And David implores the Lord, don't bring me into judgment. No one living is righteous before you. We know this to be true. And of course, David writing this before the cross, now when we come to God pleading righteousness, we plead the righteousness of Christ. He didn't have that advantage as he was writing Psalm 143, but it still speaks to the character of God, that God doesn't have unreasonable expectations of us. He remembers that we are dust. He knows we're only human. It's not to say he condones, it's not to say that he justifies, but it's to say that he is reasonable, he's faithful, and his righteousness is merciful. The psalm goes on to say, the enemy pursues me, crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me, and my heart within me is dismayed. That is the description of grief after abortion. There is always, always a spiritual component to abortion, because it always takes the life of an innocent human being. It's a life and death matter, therefore it's always a spiritual matter. And we as Christians know that spiritual warfare is a very real phenomenon. And when David says that the enemy pursues and crushes and makes us dwell in darkness, that our spirits grow faint, our hearts become dismayed, we really cannot find our way out on our own. I think that it's fair to say that. I think that there are very few individuals who have just found their way out on their own. We need the Lord's help, and we need the help of the body of Christ to stand against the enemy, the accuser. That's the name that he's given. And he stands before the throne of God accusing, not just in our hearts accusing us, but he accuses us to God. He has the arrogance to do that. But it's important for you to know that God doesn't listen to him. Have you stopped to consider that? That when those thoughts come in to condemn you, have you stopped to consider that God doesn't listen to him? Therefore, neither should we. He is our enemy, and he does hate us. And when Peter said that our enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, that is, the teacher of on Psalm 143, the lesson today, Reverend Goose from A Beautiful Savior in Marietta, Georgia, called to mind the Christians who were being fed to the lions, that this was no idle metaphor that Peter was using. This was something that real people were facing. This is a real threat to us spiritually. But there are real answers in God's Word, and we'll continue with it after we take a short break and give you a chance to get to the phone and call us and join the conversation. 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free, at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Thanks for being with us tonight. I'm Kim Cattola, and we do have a beautiful pro-life resource for you tonight, Lauren Roman's CD, Songs of Hope and Healing. Lauren has shared her story on this program, and the songs are just beautiful and so well produced and really will be a blessing to you. And particularly if you or someone close to you has had an abortion, I think a project like this is so important because even having conversations about God's Word cannot touch the heart in the way that music can in some cases. 1-800-811-3003, 1-800-811-3003. We're also talking about the Psalms, and the penitential Psalms are for those times when we know that we've done wrong, but we also know that we need God and His love and His healing. And in Psalm 143, after David has asked the Lord to hear his prayer and to not bring him into judgment, and he's acknowledged that the enemy of our souls is pursuing him, trying to crush him, David says in verse 5, "I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land." And it's so important to remember this, that we can call upon the things that God has done for us in the past. David, of course, was maybe reiterating all of the miraculous deliverances that God had done for the nation of Israel, or he could have been thinking about that time that he faced Goliath. We could all point to things that are God's wonderful works, the creation itself, all of God's works, and consider what God's hands have done. We know He's able to help us. We know He's powerful enough. We know that He can. He can come to our aid. And so then David prays for forgiveness, and he says simply this, and this is so important to hear. If your heart is crushed by the enemy's accusations and your self-condemnation after abortion, David says in verse 7, "Answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you." And then he prays for a new life. He says, "Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life." He says, "Rescue me from my enemies, Lord." He says, "I hide myself in you." He says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground." You know what I love the most about those verses from Psalm 143? "I hide myself in you." I think of Rock of Ages. "Cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Well, no, what happens after abortion? We hide from God, not hide in God. And it is such a simple shift. It is such a simple shift. God is not the one that has driven the impulse to hide yourself in God. David's prayer of confidence and trust closes with saying, "For your name's sake, Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant." It's a beautiful psalm, and one that I hope that you would spend time meditating on if you are troubled after an abortion, or if you know someone who needs God's help and love but is afraid to ask for it or has turned back your efforts to help. This would be a wonderful psalm to pray together. 1-800-811-3003 is our number, and we have a caller who's listening in the Twin Cities. Carlin, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. It's so nice to have you with us, and thanks for joining us tonight.
Hi.
Hi, what do you think?
Kim Cattola, you are wonderful. I was driving home. I have a little retirement job out at the airport, and I got to hear you the whole way home tonight. And that first part, the idea about a third party was rather like, oh, that wouldn't work. And then the more as they got closer to home, it's like it was so hopeful. That was just such a that it needs to be discussed. It needs to be brought out there. But the whole idea of it is like, we've got such a mess now. This is really hopeful. I appreciate you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Carlin. I appreciate that. I was quite struck by the idea, too. And I talked with someone who actually is a very strong proponent of animal rights, and I don't want to stir more controversy because that can be very contentious for folks, too. But this person said, you know what, I'd be willing to vote for somebody from the Party for Life if they had a plank for animal rights. And I thought, you know, there are a lot of people with a lot of causes and things that are dear to their hearts that are just not being represented by the way things are in the landscape today, right?
Yes, and all life matters, right?
Hmm. Well, thank you for that. And hold on so we can get your address and we'll get you a copy of our pro-life resource tonight. Carlin, great to hear from you. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Thanks for what you do every day.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thanks for your kind words. That's very encouraging.
Bye-bye.
1-800-811-3003 is our number. We still have time for at least one more call if you have a chance to get to the phone. And I appreciate that. You know, we're here as a ministry to prevent abortion and to help those whom it has hurt. I have a very clear agenda about that. I don't believe that I am called to be politically active, although if the law were to come to an end today and abortion were to be criminalized, I would see that as a very good thing. I don't think that would end abortion. I think that it's a matter of the heart. And I think that we need to win hearts and minds so that women will be able to choose life. We need to give them the support that they need. We need to do all of the things that are already happening in the pregnancy help movement. And if you're in favor of the cause for life, I hope you know the ways to get in touch with those who are offering that life-affirming and life-saving ministry through their toll-free numbers and through the links and the ways that girls and young women can find them and find those resources through social media and other means. And online, because it's really our job to say the help is there. You know, please just do take advantage of it. And you go to cradlemyheart.org. We've got it all there for you in our blog rolls, and it's all there on the links, and it's 24/7. So you can feel confident that Option Line and the National Helpline After Abortion and so many of the organizations that we've linked are there offering women a better choice and offering care and love in the wake of having made that choice. You know, this is what it's going to take, is for us to really take action. But I think the law is also extremely important. And I think back, if you were listening to this program when Rebecca Kiesling was our guest, Rebecca was conceived in rape before Roe v. Wade made abortion legal. So her mother didn't have the option of aborting her. Some people, the rhetoric you might hear today is that that was a forced birth. And when I stop and think about what a woman must go through to carry that through after having been violently violated, I can only say that I cannot imagine the strength of character and mental fortitude that it would take to see that experience through. But Rebecca said, I wasn't born because I was wanted. I was born because I was protected. And it really is up to us to help those women who've been violated and to protect the children. It's up to us. It's up to us. And so I just really like hearing the proposals. I like thinking it through together. Again, as a 501c3, we don't endorse candidates, and we're not a political organization, and as you can probably imagine, it is not my expertise. But the question is, you know, are we ready for something more? Are we ready for something that reflects the value that says every human life is worthy of protection? some really beautiful pro-life quotes that I want to close with tonight to leave you with some food for thought. You may have heard some of these, but they really do bear repeating. Ronald Reagan once said, "I've noticed that everyone who's for abortion has already been born." J.R. Tolkien said, "Even the smallest person can change the course of the future." Mother Teresa said, "How can there be too many children? That's like saying there are too many flowers." And Henry Hyde said, "This is a debate about our understanding of human dignity, what it means to be a member of the human family, even though tiny, powerless, and unwanted." Boy, at different times, I think probably all of us have felt tiny and unwanted and insignificant. How lovely to know that someone stronger is there to protect, to guard, and to safeguard and rescue. Thank you so much for being part of the program. Find out more at cradlemyheart.org and be sure and join us next week. We'll be here for you. Thanks for listening. Your support makes this podcast stream possible. Information is available at myfaithradio.com.